others. We're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five.
Hit it two times with the bass.
One time,
two times with the bass.
Two times.
I don't wanna hit it cause she basic.
No.
Hit it cause she basic.
Hit it
two times, but a trap nigga made it.
Two times.
Trap nigga made it.
It's a hot, hot summer, yeah.
Tonight's rundown: LeBron James, Dak Prescott, Faith Evans, Monique, and is the Red Table Talk a scam? We'll talk about that and much more tonight live, 10 p.m. BroTalkLive.com, the best show on the internet for you by us. Bro Talk Live, always on the mark. It's your main man, Jason, sitting in the director's seat. Let's kick it over to my main man, Dex. What up, bro?
Dex is lucky here. Hey, guys, super excited to be here. Really excited about the show tonight.
Hey, man. Any fun stories?
Not necessarily fun stories, but I think I've come to the conclusion that I am legit like an old man. So last night I went to the Beyonce and Jay-Z On the Run 2 show. The show was great.
Did you and Taco together?
No, but I did see that he was there though. I saw like pictures and stuff like that he was. Ty's also not working currently. Like, he's on school break. I'm not on school break and I wasn't smart enough to take today off. So like, I've just been struggling to like make it, but I've really been struggling to just like make sense of my life today. Like, why would I go to that concert and act like I'm 21? What is the problem with me? I just want to go to sleep.
You had a hangover?
No, I didn't have a hangover.
Really?
I think what's worse than a hangover though is that knowing that you have to get up and do something. Like, I had to get up to go to work. I feel like that's worse than having a hangover.
Yeah, I feel you. Tata God, what up, bro? Did you enjoy the concert last night?
I did.
Did you get trashed like Dex?
No. So we bought the concert tickets actually before we knew Nicole was pregnant. And so I was like a little bit
apprehensive
about going. But we went anyway, and I had to act a little bit ridiculous. I just felt like I was worried that someone would like knock into her, and I had to ask people to get away from me if they were smoking and things like that. So unfortunately,
get away from her, but get away from you.
Unfortunately, I had to ruin some people's fun, but I think that we had a good time.
So there was no weed smoking in your area?
No, and kept to the side with that.
Okay, cool. Well, how long was the show? Was it worth the money and everything? Like, you think
2 hours? And I can't wait. And I knew Beyonce wouldn't come on until it got dark, so I swung in right before she came because I didn't have time to stand around and wait for 2 hours for Beyonce.
You don't want to see Chloe and Halle?
No, although I do appreciate that they're coming up in the world. They are like 8 years old, and I'm 40, so I don't need to see them sing, but. You know, I do wish them well.
Did DJ Khaled sing his new song with Chance and Justin Bieber?
Neither Dex nor myself would know because I don't think we were there for that part.
We're old. Like, that's what young people do, go to the concert and watch the openers. Like, old people like us just kind of, we go in there, we watch the main people, and if we're smart, we get out of there before they finish. I wasn't smart last night, so it took me 2 hours to get home. But nonetheless, it was a great show.
Okay, cool. Amen. All right, let's start the show. Bill, do you know where Bill is this week?
I got a message from him. He's actually in Paris this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he bought tickets to the On the Run show for Philadelphia, but he ended up thinking that the show was in Paris, so he was there yesterday for the show, but it just happened to be here, so he missed out on yet another Beyonce concert.
Unfortunately, he wasn't able to fly back in on time, so he won't be here, but hopefully we're hoping to see him next week if he doesn't have any traveling mishaps.
Yeah. The shade and missing another Beyonce concert when he posted that he was at the last one.
But he really
don't be nasty.
I don't participate in shades. When you walk in, continue on, and once you are finished, I'll chime in.
Who got next? Who I'm talking about? LeBron James, King James of the Los Angeles Lakers, opened up a school, the I Promise School in his hometown of Akron, Ohio. As LeBron says, the school is not a charter school. It's not a private school. It's an actual school. That's what he said, end quote. I guess charter schools and private schools aren't actual schools, but shout out to him. It's a public school.
So anyone can go if they live in the area?
Yeah, anyone can go. And that neighborhood is at risk youth elementary school. So shout out to him. Some of the features for this I Promise school, they have free tuition, free uniforms. You get a free bicycle and helmet, free transportation within 2 miles of the school, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks. There's a food pantry for families who need food assistance. And there is GEDs and job placement services for parents. Guaranteed tuition to the University of Akron is guaranteed for every student who graduates from the LeBron James I Promise School. Guys, what does this mean to you, Ty, as an educator? What does this mean for that community to have this school available to them?
Two things I want to clear up. I'm going to answer your question, but first, when LeBron says it's an actual school, not a charter school, not a private school, there's a huge political battle about charter schools and how they're using public money to fund a private education.
Correct.
And so I think that what he meant was that, you know, this is a public school. Anyone who lives in the catchment can attend, and we're going to use public money, and it's going to be run like a public school, but it's going to have the add-ons that really all schools should have. And so I think that this, to transition to your question, I think that this is big, and I think that the best way to give back to your community is to help raise up the generation behind you and provide people with education and, more important, access. So I think that's what a lot of people are missing, is access to certain things. And I think this is great, and I hope that other people would, I mean, you don't have to build your own school, but, you know, begin contributing to the schools that already exist, put your own school up. But I think that he's on the right path, and I do appreciate his contribution.
Cool. Dex, what were your thoughts when you heard that LeBron James was opening this school, and once you saw it, what were your thoughts?
I'm amazed by it. Like, I remember maybe like a year or two ago, like, I started to like LeBron James as like a person. I'm like, you know, I really like the stuff that he does in the community. I like that he speaks out on racial and injustices.
I said that right? Injustices.
Like, I really like that. I think he makes amazing shoes. I think he's a great basketball player. But then when I saw this, I'm like, what can't this man do? Like, this is amazing to me. And then, like, when I first saw it said he's making a school, I'm like, okay, like, other, like, athletes have schools, you know, like, other famous people have done stuff like this. But then when I turned around and I saw, like, what his pledge, I'm just like, this is insane. Because, like, one of the biggest things, I think, that people always do something where they want to help out kids, or they want to, you know, but they don't always think about what those kids are going home to. Like, a lot of these kids, they don't, their families don't have money for food.
You free know what I mean? Breakfast, lunch, and snacks is
or transportation is a problem. And I feel like he saw that stuff. He knew that maybe from growing up, like, in these situations, and he took care of it. Like, a food pantry for families, like, that is amazing.
Yeah, I wasn't always, admittedly, the biggest LeBron fan. I'm a Kobe guy, so, you know, that's what that was for many years. And I've recently come around, when he called Trump a bum, I thought that was amazing. That was probably my favorite thing he's ever done. So I've been a little more lighthearted towards him. And then with this step, it's just like, I just can't fathom what it would take to open up a school. And LeBron has been on record to say that he wants to be the first billionaire athlete. And when I heard him say that originally, he said that like in his fifth year, you know what I'm saying, of being in the NBA. And when he originally said that, I was like, wow, that's a really, I guess, rich thing to say. Like, who, like, what are you going to do with all that money? Like, $1 billion from the NBA? That's ridiculous. And now now that I see what he's doing, not necessarily with his money, because this came through his foundation, but his influence and his ability to use his resources for good, I feel like that makes all the difference in the world. And I hope he does reach that $1 billion mark. So shout out to him. What are you saying, Dex?
You are saying that you like LeBron James because of what he's doing with the school. So it has nothing to do with the fact that he now plays for the Lakers. Nothing to do with that, right?
Absolutely not. Okay. Yeah.
Just making sure.
I'm indifferent about the whole Laker thing. So they got new jerseys today, though. So shout out to them. All right. So that brings us to a little game we're going to play. Sorry, I'm chewing a pretzel. Caught me in the middle of my pretzel chewing deck. I thought Dex was going to take it for a little bit, but he did. So this brings us to four people who might, I don't know why they might, but four people that I decided might open up a school in the near future. So guys, Cardi B, Chris Brown, Beyonce, and Kanye West. You guys have names for any of these schools? Like, what do you guys have for Cardi B? What would her school be named?
I propose
some. I'll be the superintendent, and you guys propose names, and I'll tell you which one wins.
I have an idea. Balcalis Almazar's School for Gifted Youngsters.
That's so nasty.
I like that. Let's do Balcalis Almazar School of Culture with a K.
Oh,
I like that.
I like that.
And then in that school, they specify and proving people wrong. They specify in like screenshotting unnecessary information. You know, they did really teach you how to just really get down and dirty. Oh, and they'll also teach you how to like finesse. Like that's like the main thing. You just learn how to finesse life at this school.
And there will be a Bacardi and Hennessy served at the lunchroom. So there's that.
There we go. Every third Thursday.
house drinks. All right. What we got for Chris Brown? What would his school be named? Anyone want to go?
Chris Brown.
Ty, you got one?
See, I feel like people have been trying to play Chris Brown lately in his accomplishments. And so instead of making a joke, I am going to propose a name of a great school for Chris Brown, which would be called
Jail.
The With You School, which
it's called what time?
It's called what?
The With You School, named after one of his very popular songs.
Oh, With You.
Also, he would help. It would be very similar to LeBron James' school. I think Chris Brown would actually do this one day, and I propose this name. For my cousin Chris Brown.
The With You School. Okay.
For Chris Brown, I would call it Run It Academy. And at Run It Academy, that's all we do is run away from our problems. You know what I mean? Like anytime something goes wrong,
we'll
teach you how to skate away from the issue. Another one of the biggest lessons they'll teach you at the Run It Academy is how to perform after you mess up. So basically, you know, in true Chris Brown fashion, every time he messes up, he decides to do a tribute performance, and they're going to really teach you how to do that. They're also going to teach you they're also going to teach you how to be, you know, a F-boy. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're out there, but, like, I think a lot of people have issues. They don't really understand the true nature of being an F-boy. And Chris Brown, I don't think anybody could teach that better than he could.
Chris Brown's school is going to help people clear their images after they've made mistakes. Chris Brown's school is going to help.
They're
going to
teach you how to throw cinder blocks into the side of your mom's car.
It's going to help you be ridiculously talented and sometimes not know exactly what to do with that talent. And so it's going to help you be molded in a more appropriate fashion so that you're not 16 years old with $1 million doing anything and letting people judge you for the rest of your life. So we are going to Chris Brown, and I'm going to help him by using my educational pool to make sure this thing happens.
And then when he beats you up,
and we're going to replace all the C words. It's going to teach you how to replace all the C words with B's because you're blood. So you got to do the Chris Brown.
We're not about to play Chris Brown. And we're not doing this.
The With You Academy. All right. Next up, we have Beyonce, Queen B's. Who we got for Beyonce? What we got?
What's the name? Formation Academy.
Yeah, I said that's what I wrote to Formation Academy.
Okay.
We can They'll go teach with that. You how to revamp your image and your energy. So, you know, if you walked around before with House of Darion, they'll show you how to make people forget about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Those old fashioned faux pas that you made back in the day, they'll erase them for you.
Because we like to party. And Kanye's, do we have a name for Kanye?
Yeah, so we forgot. Canceled Academy.
What a K.
We don't want Kanye's school. We don't want Kanye's contribution. We don't want Kanye in this portion of the show. We don't want Kanye's anything. Kanye is canceled. And I think we all remember that. And as soon as you send me the name, it's Canceled Academy. We are not doing Kanye. We're done. Next.
I don't even want to go. I had one for it. I was going to say for Kanye, at least we call it, for Kanye, we would call it the Choice Academy, because everything in his life seems to be a choice. You know, just like people choose to be slaves, he chose to be with Kim Kardashian after she's been with, you know, it doesn't matter. Kanye is canceled, so we can move on.
All right. So which ones, we have some superlatives, which is the most likely to get the diversity award? Cardi's? I think so, because she's the only one that's also something other than black in this conversation. Highest GPA?
Highest GPA?
Really?
None of them.
I'm just kidding.
If I had to pick out of all these people the highest GPA, I would probably say Kanye West.
It's so rude. Why? Because Beyonce can't write.
Oh, well, we know that. But no, I would say Kanye West, because like a lot of his supporters, like they're educated. Like they're not dumb people. They just make dumb decisions.
Lowest GPA.
Oh, Cardi B.
I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that. Highest tuition. Like who will charge you the
Beyonce.
Most?
Beyonce. Oh,
speaking of which.
Hold on, really? I think Kanye would charge you more.
But. No, Beyonce had us pay $40 for parking yesterday.
She didn't have you. That's the stadium money. That's not her
no,
money.
No, it was not.
It was only $25 last year. And so I think the
parking goes to the stadium, not to the artist.
I'm telling you, I have it on good authority that Beyonce and Jay-Z made a profit from the parking lot sales yesterday.
They might have got a little chunk, but they didn't set the price.
They didn't set the price, but they were like, we need 50%. So the stadium has to now.
Well, that's the stadium's fault. They wanted part of the money. The stadium should have given up their share of the money. So you know what I'm saying? Blame the stadium. Don't blame Beyonce. All right, so we're going to Beyonce.
Who's charging the most?
Highest police presence. Which one's getting that one?
Chris Brown School.
Party School. Cardi or Chris Brown? I think it's between those two.
Well, Beyonce has a song called Party, so I feel like hers would be the... No, Beyonce would
definitely have a party, though. Like, you can't have Beyonce's party out of school. So we're going to move that on to probably... I feel like Cardi B would be the party school.
I do, too. She just always
did. I see it as Beyonce, but okay.
And highest enrollment?
Beyonce.
Of course, right? I feel like that's 100% Beyonce. All right, so Cardi B looks like the school to go to. She's a diversity winner. Maybe the lowest GPA. I don't know if you want to go to a school like that. And it is a party school. Chris Brown's will have the highest police presence. Beyonce's school will have the highest tuition and the highest enrollment. People pay to see Beyonce. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. And for some reason, you guys think Kanye West will have the highest GPA. I tend to disagree with that. I would pick the lowest GPA for Kanye just because he says the crazies. But, you know, that's what it is. Thanks, guys, for playing. That was fun. I appreciate it. Dex, thanks for the idea. Really good idea. I took it and made it gold.
took it and ran with it.
Thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys. Dex, you're a Cowboys fan, right?
Yeah, they're a dynasty. They're an amazing team. Like, I think they are leading the charge as far as, like, do we have to talk about this?
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. Jerry Jones started the week off by saying that although the NFL might not have a formal policy on the anthem, his team has always had a policy, and he says this is what it is.
But in general, I'll speak to one, and everybody knows where I stand, and then we stand as a team. Our policy is that you stand at the anthem, toe on the line.
Stand at the anthem, toe on the line. He said that's always been the policy. Their quarterback, Dak Prescott, also echoed what Jerry said and said that he's not cowering to what other people says that he should do, that he's going to do what he thinks is right, and this is what he thinks is right.
No, I never protest. I never protest during the anthem, and I don't think that's the time or the venue to do so. The game of football has always brought me such a peace, and I think it does the same for a lot of people. A lot of people playing the game, a lot of people watching the game, a lot of people that have any impact of the game. So when you bring such a controversy to the stadium, to the field, to the game, it takes away. It takes away from that. It takes away from the joy and to the love that football brings a lot of people. And so for me, I'm all about making a change, making a difference. And I think this whole kneeling and all that was all about just raising awareness and the fact that we're still talking about social injustice years later. I think we've got to that point. I think we've proved and we know that the social injustice. So I'm up for taking a next step, that whatever that step may be, for action and not just kneeling. I've always believed standing up for what I believe in, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Once again, that was after what Jerry said. Their star running back, Ezekiel Elliott, who was also drafted the same year as Dak Prescott, had to say this about the team.
Us as a team, we chose to stand together for the national anthem, and it was our decision, and I think it just shows our culture. It shows that, you know, that we have unity. We're going to stand as one. That's not knocking anyone else who may choose to kneel during the national anthem, but we're the Dallas Football Cowboys and Mega team. We stand for the national anthem.
We stand for the national anthem. We're the Dallas Football Cowboys. Well, Jerry Jones got caught recently at their camp, and while standing for the national anthem, toeing the line, he forgot to take off his hat. His son Stephen Jones, who was there on his right, told him, whispered in his ear here, "Hey, you still have your hat on," and he did not take it off. He said something, I guess, shrugged it off, but did not take his hat off, thus disrespecting the national anthem. Guys, how do you feel about the Dallas Cowboys? What are your thoughts on that whole shebang that I just outlined for you? Dex, since you're a Cowboys fan, I'll have you go first.
I'm okay with it. I support it. I agree with them. This is the reason why I agree with them. Like, so when Colin Kaepernick, and like, I've been very critical of Colin Kaepernick.
Very.
I watch the show. It's not like a surprise for me. Like, it's not surprising at all. But I think to put it into like words or to make sense of it, it's because I don't feel like Colin Kaepernick did what he was attempting to do. Like, so for instance, like his whole overall purpose was to kneel so that he can bring awareness to like police brutality and like the bad treatment of African-Americans within our country.
You don't think he did that?
In our country. I don't think he did that by kneeling. I think he did that by having conversations and donating and talking about it. I think that's what really did it for us. Because to be honest with you, like for me, this guy's kneeling. It's like, okay, what is this for? What are you doing this for? And I think he could have just.
Well, that's what got people to ask the question, why are you doing this?
And yeah, but like, I don't think you had to do it for people to ask the question. I don't think you had to do something for people to ask the question. I think you have a platform where you can just speak on it. Like you can tweet about it. You can do stuff. And the same stuff that he's been doing now, donating money and speaking like to different organizations and like just really embracing people and really like showing how this is a problem. You could have done that without the kneeling process. I feel like the kneeling, it's a distraction.
Well, he didn't initially kneel. One of the punters on the San Francisco, Nate Boyer, decided to tell him to kneel because it was respectful. So he was respectful and knelt.
Two points I want to just jump on really quickly. One, I like that he talked to someone in the military to get their approval in the military before he did it. I do like that, but also I think that's BS because we all know that like if I want something to work my way, I'll just talk to someone who's going to tell me what I want to hear. Because just like you found one person that was in the military that's like, oh, this is fine. You should kneel because that's the most respectful way to do it. I can find you one person who's going to disagree with that. So like,
well,
to me, like,
I also heard the vocal people that I've heard from the military, and I guess we can ask Bill when he comes back, because whatever, he'll be in the military, he'll be a veteran. But I've heard most people that I've heard that are vocal about this from the military have said that this is the reason that they serve so that we can have the right to protest. So they've supported Kaepernick.
But Jason, I think that really depends on like who you're talking to, because you do know that the same way that those people are telling you that there are other people who are disagreeing with that. That's all I'm saying with that point. But also, I feel like the kneeling, the sitting, whatever you want to call it, I feel like that's a distraction, because then people are looking at it like, oh, they're protesting the flag, or they're upset about the flag or whatever. And that's not even what you're really protesting. It's protesting the treatment. And I think if that was vocalized.
Well, the reason that was. I don't want to keep disagreeing with you, but the reason that happened was that whole Donald Trump thing where he decided to politicize it and use it for his base. So that wasn't just because Kaepernick did something and Donald Trump swayed the argument doesn't mean that what Kaepernick originally did wasn't valid.
I just don't think I don't think there should have been a reason or even when you're protesting the flag, like you basically give him a way to spin it. If you would have just came flat out.
But he never called out Trump in the first place. Trump decided to use this as his base. Like, you know what I'm saying? Kaepernick was never talking to Trump.
Yes, but he was talking to Trump.
He wasn't talking to Trump. He was talking about the police.
If you're talking about
it, he wasn't talking to Trump.
If you're talking about issues within the country, I think you are talking directly to the president. I do think that. I think with his platform, he could have talked directly to Donald Trump. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I just don't think he did it properly. So I don't think other players following suit would have made much sense either. So like with the Cowboys, I don't think just because they're not kneeling, that doesn't mean they don't care. They're going to speak out about it in different ways, I hope.
All right. Ty, what you think?
Oh, what a long conversation that was. I mean, that's why they call them America's team. They do things where America does them.
So do you think do you think Dak Prescott's a sellout? A lot of people are saying that, you know, he's biracial. But a lot of people are saying that he's selling out by, you know, just trumping, no pun intended, for Jerry Jones.
I'm one of those people who I do stand on both sides. I feel like if you have the right to protest, you have the right to not protest. If you have the right to speak out in disagreement or agreement in something, you also have the right to speak out in disagreement of something. Trumping, I don't want to call it that. If he feels that way, if he honestly feels that way, then he has the right to express that. I mean, he honestly doesn't have to kneel. I don't necessarily know if I would kneel if I were a football player, but it doesn't mean that I wouldn't be doing things. I also wouldn't have a problem with someone else doing it, but I don't know if I would do it. First of all, because it wasn't my original idea. So that's just how I am, one. And two, because, you know, I don't know if that's where I want to, you know, fight. I'd rather put my resources elsewhere. It really depends. And so
do you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
No.
You don't?
No. Even at my job, when they do the Pledge of Allegiance, I never put my hand on my... It has nothing to do with protest. I just think it's a little bit silly.
You just don't see the point.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of silly.
All right, Dex, are you going to continue to root? I mean, I guess since you support what they said, are you going to continue to root for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Root all you want. Nothing's happening.
One more question about this, Ty. If you are a NFL player, would you look differently on like Dak and Zeke when you play them? Like, do you say any like Uncle like snot remarks or, you know, saying about them?
I think Uncle Tom, as I read the book Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is where that comes from. I just think that whole narrative is super racist, and so. I would never look at someone or call someone Uncle Tom. It's not something that I would do. It's not helpful. Like it doesn't help the narrative of people should come together to fight injustice. People should do this. People should do that. And I'm going to turn around and call you names and things like that because you don't agree with me. But like, that's what we're fighting for. So it's like, counterproductive, if you ask me. No, I would just play them. I would say, you know, this is where we all work, and you can choose to behave at work the way you think is best. You can choose to do what you think is best. Just because I think something is the right way to go does not mean that you're an Uncle Tom or against Black people because you decided not to go that route. So I wouldn't have an issue with it.
What about you, Jason?
I think I would probably I would feel some type of way. My wife's family are Dallas Cowboys fans. My family, Ravens fans, of course, from Baltimore, born and bred, of course. But Christina's family, you know, they root for the Cowboys, and by association, I used to be sympathetic to them. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't root for them, but you know, I would wish them well, just so the house is happy. And now, I mean, I liked Dak, I liked Zeke, but I can't say that I'm necessarily going to root for them. I just feel like they're cowering to what Jerry Jones said, what the owner said. And Richard Sherman, who has been very outspoken, former Seattle Seahawks player, now San Francisco 49ers player, came out and said that that's just old plantation mentality that Jerry Jones has. And I tend to agree. And you rolled your eyes, Dex. Why'd you roll your eyes?
Because like, that's so annoying. So you, if you were a player on an opposing team, playing them, you would call them Uncle Toms and stuff?
I don't know if I would call them Uncle Tom, but I wouldn't root for them as hard. You know what I'm saying?
This is how we do things as an organization mentality. Like when I want to enforce my way, like this is the way we do things in this organization. Like, I can understand that narrative probably. I'm not saying that it's not racist. I'm not saying that it necessarily is. I'm just saying, like, you can see why he would want everyone to do the same thing.
Because it doesn't affect him. That's the main thing. Like, if it was a black, for instance, if it was a black coach who had this stance, I think I would feel entirely different. But because Jerry Jones is white, and because Jerry Jones is about 87 years old, and because Jerry Jones is in Texas, and because Jerry Jones lives in the South, and because Jerry Jones got rich off of oil, it just makes me feel like it's like a racial undertone as of, I own you boys, you do what I say. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it feels. And I just can't get with that. I just can't.
I get it. I listen to both sides of the argument and listen to what everyone says, and you kind of draw your own conclusion somewhere in the middle. That's just how the narrative goes. If that's how they feel, for every player that's saying we're not going to kneel for the national anthem for whatever reasons, there are more players saying that we are going to do it for that reason. I think people learn the most from listening to both narratives and making their own decisions about what it is they're going to do and how they're going to feel and how they're going to approach the issue. But
that being said, I don't feel like the national anthem protest is necessarily necessary anymore. So I do understand where Dex and Dak are coming from, where it's not necessarily progressive anymore. But I don't feel like you coming out and saying, oh, I don't protest, this is not the venue for it and stuff like that, I feel like that's unnecessary. If you're not going to protest, then don't protest. But don't sit here and give the reason that it brings down the joy of the game. What about the people whose joy of the game is ruined because they can't watch football with their damn son because he was shot by the goddamn police? You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it.
I mean, yeah, and that's valid. That's valid too.
Just the last thing on this one, Jason, you do acknowledge though, or do you understand though, that just because these people aren't protesting at work, like, that doesn't mean that they don't care about, like, police brutality?
No, I absolutely agree. And Dad made that very clear in the end of his statement that he's willing to work and to do things to advance the culture. But he just says that protesting, you know, kneeling has never been the answer for him. And I can't agree that it's never been the answer, because in that first year, I feel like it did make a lot of impact when teams were kneeling. And that's just my viewpoint on it. So whatever.
I do think that someone should hold him to what he's saying. He's saying, like, basically, well, if you guys come up with something, I'll be down for it. So
yeah,
then by all means, reach out to him and see, and have him put his money where his mouth is. He might not want to kneel at work. But you know, let's take him up on the things that he is saying that he will do.
All right, let's move on. Should we forgive Roseanne? Monique was in L.A. and she, for some reason, was on the KTLA news station here in town, and she spoke about Roseanne for whatever reason. Here we go.
Roseanne Barr is my sister in comedy, and she's my universal sister. And what I won't do, Sam, is throw her away for making a mistake. We've all said and done things, baby, that we wish we could take back and swallow and say, oh, but when you're in the public eye, you can't. And it's out there. But to put the title of racist on her, I can only share my experience with Roseanne. I remember when I had the Monique show, and there were big, major black superstar talent that had white representatives. And they told their talent, that show was too black. And we really don't want you to go on there. But there was a white woman named Roseanne Barr that showed up to me when people that looked like me. Now, that
so I
like all the talent that came on the Monique show, because there were some beautiful people that sat on that couch. But I remember when we were going after the big names, and it was, oh, we got to get back to you. And y'all know who you saw and who you didn't see on that show.
Right.
But that woman, when we called, it wasn't a question. And she came and she sat on that sofa, and they didn't hear the conversation when the cameras wasn't rolling. And that woman was giving me some beautiful words. And she said, Monique, I'm going to tell you right now, baby, they're going to consider you difficult. They're going to call you the B word because you're a woman who won't lay down and take that foolishness. So what I would ask is, yes, my sister made a mistake. And she said something that I know she wished she could take back. But what I would ask is that we don't throw her away.
That is Monique's statement on Roseanne Barr. Someone on Twitter had this perfect summary of it. Monique throwing the whole race away because Roseanne was nice to her once and decided not to call her an N-word. I can't throw them both away. Guys, should we forgive Roseanne as Monique asked us to? What you guys think?
I just want to make a quick point, and then I obviously let someone else fill in. Just because you are racist doesn't mean that you don't say nice things to people. And it doesn't mean that you don't like encourage people, because you can still like encourage someone and think that they're less than you are, or think that, you know what I'm saying? Like you can still like, you know,
think that you're superior because of your race,
superior to them, and think that they don't deserve to be in the same space as you and the same, have the same status and the same opportunities as you. So just because you, offer encouragement to people does not mean that, you know, it doesn't negate the fact that you have, you know, you could be a racist. So I don't think that her point, I mean, yeah, sure, let Roseanne come out and try and do her thing. I'm not saying to completely throw her away, but I'm not watching and supporting her with my money just because she was nice to Monique. I mean, honestly, a lot of us aren't even nice to Monique.
Very fair. Dex, should we forgive Roseanne?
I think two things. Like, one, I'm not forgiving Roseanne. I'm not eating Papa John's. Those are two things that I'm just going to leave back in 2016. Like, we're done with all of that. Yeah, but as far as Monique goes, I think literally whatever this woman does, like, I do the opposite. You say don't watch Netflix, I watch Netflix. You say... You say, forgive Roseanne, I will not do that. So, like, just don't talk anymore. And if you do want to talk, just continue to tell me what I should not be doing so that I can make sure I'm on the right path. She's an idiot. She can go to Kanye's canceled academy, to be honest with you.
Who do you think will get forgiven? Not forgiven, because Monique never did anything not to be forgiven. But who do you think will have a show first, Monique or Roseanne?
Now that's the funny part about it. Roseanne will have a show first, but guess who she won't be thinking about? She's not going to be like, you guys need to forgive Monique and give her a chance. She's not going to say that. Like, she's not going to care about you. That's why I don't understand why people go and put their neck out for people who literally do not care about you or anybody else. That's
like, I just don't understand. Like, Monique was talking about this Monique show that she did. Was that the late night show that she did on BET?
Yeah.
Never heard of talking about.
So that was back in what, 2013, 2014 or something like that? Okay.
Maybe a little bit before. I know we were in college during the time.
What the shit was Monique? What the shit was Roseanne doing in 2013, 2014 that Nothing. She had to turn down the Monique show? Like, of course she was going to do it.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, she wasn't doing anything but comedy at the time. So if you're not going out to see her little shows, you know, comedy and surgery is all she was really doing. So, I mean, if someone's reaching out and saying, I want you to come on my show. Like, what is Roseanne? I mean, she needs income. Why wouldn't she come?
Absolutely. All right. Really quick, which is more likely a stunt? As we told you last week, Faith Evans and Stevie J got married in Vegas. Now the two were talking about it, they spoke to TMZ, and TMZ asked them if they were thinking about procreating.
Are you guys going to try to have babies and all that stuff?
Why you say try?
If you try, you're lying.
How do you know it's such a, this is a story? I mean, I'm pretty fertile.
We
obviously know he is too, because he got six kids with six different baby mamas. So a lot of people are thinking that that's a stunt just for a Mona Scott Young production. But this has also taken a bit of a turn because in other news, Jada Pinkett Smith reveals that she's working on a song with daughter Willow, saying, Willow has always wanted to do some stuff with me. She grew up with Wicked Wisdom, I guess that's Jada's band, on tour. And it's always been her dream to play with the band and play with me on stage. She said, it's really fun. So we're thinking about doing four songs or something. And that brought a lot of people to thinking, is Jada's Writ Table Talk series just a promotional tool for her in Willow's new projects? So guys, what's more likely a stunt, Stevie J and Faith Evans' marriage or the Writ Table Talks? What you think?
Neither one. I think all these people are just up there doing whatever. throwing shit up against the wall and whatever sticks, this is what we're going to go with. Like Jada Pinkett is literally sits at that red table and talks about how her grandmother taught her how to pleasure herself. Like there is no shame in anybody's game anymore. Like you sit there in front of your mother and your daughter and you don't got no shame. To be honest with you, Jada Pinkett, she wouldn't do a stunt. She doesn't need to. Like her life is literally a stunt at this point. And like,
remember she was like babysitting like August Alsina.
Like just don't see, see? A joke.
She was calling up Tyrese. Like she just does. Like she has so much time on her hands.
But why does Tyrese have your phone?
Weird clip where someone didn't want to reveal information, and she was like, "Well, it's okay if you're not comfortable sharing it." And then she said the information, like, like she was like, "How much drugs were you on?" He's like, "Well, you know, she, it was a lot, huh? Well, you don't have to talk about it, but it was like 70 pills a day, huh?"
Yeah, she did. She's like, yeah, because she was like, yeah, remember you told me you take about 70 pills a day, is that right?
Goodness gracious. She's like, I don't want
to reveal that. And you just told him that it was okay. Like, he had like 3 seconds of comfort before you like completely revealed what he obviously didn't want to talk about.
Like, I have full respect for Jada, but she is living literally the best life of anyone in America. Like, she has no responsibilities as far as, like, projects that she's working on. Her kids are grown. Her kids are grown. She's out here with Tiffany Haddish and Will Smith on boats, and she's recording albums with Willow Smith. Like, and she's doing Red Table Talks and getting paid by Facebook. So she's literally living the best life you could possibly live in America. So shout out to her. All right, time for the most depressing segment of the show, Racist, a.k.a. Who Called the Cops? And in this edition of Who Called the Cops, let's take a listen to this user-submitted video on Facebook.com.
So this lady is mad because I took her parking spot when she was over there, and now she's blocking this whole intersection right here just because I'm parked in a public parking spot. And she's calling the police. You're crazy. She's calling the police because I'm parked in a public parking spot. She said, oh, my mother's handicapped, whatever. Then park in a handicap spot. The handicap spots are available. Like, it's crazy. Call the cops on me because I pulled into a parking spot. That's awesome. White America.
So the other side of the story is that the woman says that this... I don't know if she's African American or Latino, but she in the picture she looked like maybe both. But she pulled into the spot before this white lady could pull into the spot, and the white lady says she was waiting there with her turn signal on, and this other girl just scooped the spot. So she decided to block the back of her car and call the cops on her. So the cops showed up, basically said, "Girl, there's nothing you can do about this. She has a spot, and just deal with it." And they moved on about their day. So that is this edition of Racist, a.k.a. Who Called the Cops. In other news, Sean King, our Nubian King, as honored by BET.com at their BET Awards, decided to post this video about a racist. And here's what happened. So this guy apparently was driving home, and person in a Uriah's utility truck wanted to turn to the right, and this person blocked them from turning to the right. And so this guy asked him why he followed him home to confront him, and this is what the guy said.
You wondered how much of a nigger I am.
Yeah, I want to let you personally know how much of a nigger you
and
are.
So I'm a nigger because you don't follow signs.
Because you're
rude. I'm rude because you don't know how to read signs. You turned in my life.
Yes.
That's fine.
That's right.
So I'm a nigger because you can't read street signs, right?
That's not it at all.
So why am I a nigger? I didn't cut you off. It's two lanes. If you look, the lane you were in, sir, was for you to go up Sinclair.
No, it was
yes.
Not.
Okay.
It
was not. I live here, so I drive the street every day. But it's fine. I didn't cut you off.
You feel entitled.
How do I feel entitled?
You feel entitled because you did everything.
You feel entitled because I'm black. I work for everything I got.
You do?
I do.
You got a job?
You see that car right there? You think I got it for free?
Paid for it.
I sure did.
Yeah,
I pay my bills. Yeah. I work hard. I work 40 hours every week.
Every week.
Yes. So thank you for calling me a nigger and showing me how stupid you are because I work. I have a college degree. I have a college degree.
Give him resume. So this man, if you didn't hear, pulled up in front of this guy's driveway after following him home and said, "I want to just let you know what a nigger you are." End quote. After that, since this video, of course, went viral on Facebook, the driver says that him calling someone else a nigger ruined his life. He said, quote, "It was an awful mistake. And obviously, I don't know how to explain it. And it's ruined my life and it's ruined my family's life. I'm out of business. I'm completely out. I'm done. I'll never work in Columbus again." I guess that's Columbus, Ohio. "This has completely and thoroughly ruined my life." And then the voicemail that they left the news station ended abruptly. Dex, you gave the Kanye West a shrug.
It wasn't a Kanye shrug. I don't even know. I would never shrug like Kanye.
Cancel.
So when I first, both of these stories, like I watch the news every single day, and I'm very terrified of driving, because like just last week in Philadelphia, there was a driver who was shot because they cut somebody off or because they wouldn't let somebody get over or something like that. And like, for me, like, I just don't feel comfortable driving a lot. I don't feel comfortable having to think about what these other people might do, because people aren't rational anymore. Because before, somebody cuts you off or they don't let you get over, you blow your horn, maybe throw them a finger or whatever, and then it's over with. But these days, you something like that happens.
Niggas pulling out AK-47s, yeah.
Yeah, they're shooting at you. They're following you to your house. And it's just like, it's just not worth it on anybody's end. Like, everybody in these situations were completely wrong. The person who got out of the car to record the person, wrong. You don't know what that man has in that car. You like,
well, you're doing it for your safety.
Are you doing it for your safety though? Like, you got out of this car and you approach somebody, you have no idea what they have in their car. You're just filming them.
At that point,
that's smart.
It might not be safe, but hey.
And the other guy who got cut off, you're driving to someone's home. You don't know who they're telling to come out the house to do what to you. Like, we got to be smarter.
So you're blaming the blacks?
I'm blaming everybody. I mean, everybody is completely wrong in these situations. Everybody is wrong in these situations.
I'm just confused here, Ty. Is he blaming the blacks or am I crazy? Ty, what you think?
I don't think filming is inappropriate. I think filming was... I think filming was appropriate. I think from the filming, I think putting him out there, because I mean, he could be dangerous. You're right. But at the end of the day, you're standing in my driveway calling me a nigger. And I'm just going to in your company car. And so I'm very much going to film you and try to get this out there.
I understand filming it, but
I don't think anyone would believe this story if I just put it out there and say, this person from such and such called me a nigger. No, and you saw me filming you and you continue. Like, no, I want this. And then I probably wouldn't have been smart enough to film. Like, because I'd be the stupid one going to jail, because I'd be pulling out a car to beat his ass. That's what I would be doing. But I think he was smarter than I would have been. Because as much as he doesn't know what's in his car, I don't know, because I'd be dragging him out of it. So I'd probably find out soon what was in it, because he's outside of my house. So by the time I'm done, like, I want you to film me dragging him out of the car, kicking him, stomping him. And you niggas will be missing.
You would have stomped him out, Ty? You would have stomped him out?
Absolutely. I would beat his ass. Like, there's no way. He's like, oh, I want you to know, nigga. Well, this is what niggas do.
You would have pulled him out the window, or you would have opened the door? Which one would you have done first?
I want to reach and pull him out the window. That's more effective. That one, the fall on the ground. No leeway.
Racists deserve to get dragged out of windows. Time for Q&A. Ty.
Listen, I'm not a violent person.
We got time for one question.
That's crossing the line. Q&A, let's do it. Topic one. Clueless colonizers. Topic number two, time's up.
I did good with these titles this week, didn't I, Todd? They are really good.
Great job. I'm sorry, I lost my thought. Topic number three, thy cup throweth over. And topic number four, ex Jesus free.
Reformed. All right, which one would you suggest, Ty, or text? Do you want to pick one?
That's how you go for it. I don't know, though. Ty, because the last time we let you pick a question.
I think we should do topic three, honestly. Seriously.
I like these. I like them all, and I think they're all helpful. So let's just dive right in. So we'll do three, and then Dex, you can pick whichever one. And then
if
we'll
we have time. I mean, we don't have SEC regulations, so whatever. Go ahead, Ty.
Seriously? I'm a guy, and I got into a heated argument with my boyfriend a few days ago. I became silent and non-responsive, and out of frustration, he flung his coffee mug in my general direction, though quite far away from me. This is the first time something like this has happened, and we generally communicate well with each other. He regretted it instantly and was profusely apologetic afterwards. We resolved the issue in the moment, but I have since felt angry about his violent act. He still regrets his action, but says it's unfair of me to call it physically abusive. I'm finding it difficult to get over this because abuse is something I find unacceptable in a relationship. He says it wasn't physically abusive because it could not have hurt me, which is true. He denies that his casualness has anything to do with our gender. I still think it does. I have never felt unsafe in my relationship, but should I accept his, I'm really sorry for what I did, but I wasn't abusive, apology?
I think the thing to ask in this question is if the hold on, Dex, what are you looking
at? Dex, you got something to say?
I feel like the thing to ask before you go, Dex, is would you feel the same way if this was a guy and a girl? That's the only thing that I have to say. Go ahead, Dex.
Okay. So if you do something that I don't think is wrong, I mean, if you do something that I don't think is right, the only thing I could take from you is an apology. That's the only thing you can't take it back. You apologize for it. This guy's apologized for doing it multiple times. It didn't hit you. You didn't like it. He expressed that. He explained it. You guys both get that. I don't understand it. To be honest with you, after the first paragraph of this, I'm like, okay, we get it. There's no need for the rest. The fact that you went on more like leads me to believe that you want an argument. And I just, even the fact that you're bringing up that like, it would have been different if I was a woman or whatever, like, but you're not. So like I don't really understand like why that is even brought into it.
Well, because if you guys remember, a few months ago, we did a topic about someone who was abusive to animals. And you guys said, if he'll hit a dog, he'll hit a woman. And my thing is, okay, if you throw a coffee mug and you miss somebody and you hit the wall, you might not miss them the next time. So it doesn't matter whether or not they're a man or a woman. I feel like it should be treated the same way. So that's why I brought that.
I mean, that's a stretch. Like, I mean, people.
That's a stretch, really?
People get angry and they do things all the time. And I wouldn't consider that. So basically what this guy is doing is trying to get his boyfriend to admit that he's an abuser. And what his boyfriend is saying is like, I was wrong for that. I was upset. I threw something in your direction, nowhere near you, but I threw something in your direction. Immediately I realized, look, I really shouldn't have done that. And I apologize. But you want to label me as an abuser. And you only want to accept my apology if I label myself an abuser so that we can work through my abuse issues.
I like, see what you're saying. I get it. I get what you're saying.
This is not what we're going to do. Like, no, you either forgive me or you don't. You're either going to move on or you're not. So you accept the apology or don't. I throw shit because I got mad. Can you get over it or can you not get over it?
And then, like, he got the apology. If it happens again, he's going to have to catch these hands. Like, you're going to have to hit him. Like, and then he'll stop.
This is a non-issue for me, but whatever.
I mean, it is kind of dangerous though when you're throwing stuff, so I feel like
at least
make sure that the guy knows that when he gets angry he does like certain things, and as long as you know that he understands that that's not acceptable, I feel like you can move on with the relationship. But if he denies it and acts like, you know, it was no big deal, then I feel like you should have a larger conversation about your future.
The problem wasn't that he wasn't acknowledging that it was wrong. The problem was he wanted him to admit he was an abuser.
Okay, fair. And I don't think he's an abuser, but just watch out. All right, next one.
Learn how to
have time for our next one.
Of course. Some of these are really quick. So what was the other one?
I didn't have another one. Dex, did you have one that piqued your interest?
Ex-Jesus freaks.
All right, excuse me. That's a good one. That's the one I would have picked. So go ahead, Ty.
After some traumatic events, I've chosen to distance myself from my religion. However, my husband is very religious, and when we got married, he expected us to always share a faith tradition. I don't blame him. I did too. But after my experiences, I've changed. I have no idea how to talk to him about it without turning into him accusing me of being misleading and heading down a bad path. I also feel like no matter how I try to tell him that I totally support him continuing to be religious, and whether or not I continue to attend services, he'll still feel like I'm insulting him and his faith. Our relationship is so great until we discuss religion. Now I'm kind of stuck pretending I'm a believer. It feels dishonest, but I feel trapped. You guys are religious. How should I confront this?
Damn. She clearly, she watches the show. She must have been talking about Bill. I'm religious. I won't say I'm religious. I'm faith-based, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, man. My
term religious kind of has a bad sting to me.
I don't like the term religious either.
Like, I feel like if this is something that's like a sour spot in your relationship, like, I get it. Like, I think couples should kind of be on the same page when it comes to religion. But if it's something that you guys aren't able to discuss and it's causing conflict in the relationship, I don't really think it's necessary to, like, bring into it. You know what I mean?
Like, really, I feel like religion is such a big thing in relationships and people's lives that if you don't agree, you should at least talk about it. Because like what happens, how you live your life a lot of the times is based on your faith. So, I mean, I'm not saying you're a bad person if you don't believe in Jesus, but I'm saying you don't necessarily go to the same fellowships. You're not necessarily on the same plane because you're not aligned with God. So I feel like, or the same God. So I feel like you guys should at least have that conversation or be able to have that conversation if you're going to continue in this relationship.
Here's my opinion. Here's the thing. I mean, you guys are already married and you did get married under the same faith. And that would upset me if I were in this situation.
Absolutely.
I randomly was like, oh, I'm an atheist now, because I had no intention of being married to an atheist. And now I'm married to this atheist who. And so I do have an issue with it. But what I would have to do is understand that we are, in fact, married. We do have investments. So I think that he should kind of love her.
Yeah, are you married under God? Because she didn't believe in God. You know what I'm saying?
You're married legally, then. It doesn't matter.
It's a little more easier to get a divorce if it's just legal than, you know, you get what I'm saying, though. Like marriage, for me, marriage is a religious event. So when I get married, for me, it's a Christian. It's like baptism. It's like being christened.
So is this for you grounds for divorce? Like this thing that...
I feel like divorce won't be off the table because they didn't believe at the time.
I don't think that I would... I honestly think that I would...
If it's that big of a deal for you.
I think I would try to work through it. I think I would. But it would make me uncomfortable because now we are... I don't know. I would try to work through it and see what happens. But I don't think there's going to be an easy solution to this problem. I think that you guys should continue to talk about it. I do not think that you should pretend to be a believer just because you don't want to argue. Like in a relationship, you should never pretend to be something to avoid arguments unless it's like, you know, something silly. It might, you don't want to argue anymore. But I don't know. It's just, you're just going to have to keep working through it because you might end up, you know.
You might find your way back home.
You might find your way back home, or you might get shipped off to Kansas Academy. You never know.
You might find your way back home, Dex.
Yeah, or like Ty said, join Canceled Academy. That marriage is going to join Canceled Academy.
Just a time. Sorry. For Q&A, for more Q&A questions, hit us up. BroTalkLive.com and click on the tab that says Q&A at the top of the page. All right, time for Jizz of Time. Guys, we're going to play a little game called Guess Who? And it's based on topics that we've talked about in the past. So we're going to play a clip. We have clips from 2017, 2016, and if it's a tie, we'll go to 2015. And I want you to guess who the hell this person was talking about in this clip. This first clip comes from Dex. This time last year, Dex, who or Ty, who is Dex talking about?
John has made a lot of very questionable decisions and comments. Like, John has done a lot of things in his life that have just, you know. But, you know, to see this, that, you know, that he's actually trying to stand up for other people. So it's it's interesting to see this side of it. I've known that he's had it in him for quite some time.
Who the hell are you talking about?
Literally no idea.
I said John.
You John? Said John. Did he wear the same shirt? Hold up. Is that the, it's a different shirt.
No, yeah. I would not be wearing the same shirt from last season. Come on now.
Same style, different shirt. Okay.
There's only two Johns that come to mind. It's John McCain or John C. Oh, it's John McCain. It's definitely John McCain.
It's definitely John McCain because this is around that time where he had left for brain surgery, but then he came back to vote. Yeah, it's definitely John McCain.
Oh, good. Ty figured out
the whole puzzle. I said it first.
No, yeah, you're right, Dex. You're absolutely right. But Ty figured out the whole puzzle. You guys both got it right. So I'll give you the point. You guys are undefeated so far. I want to know. All right, 2016. Ty, this is what you had to say about this person.
I have a good one. You didn't have emotion. What you didn't have was emotional distress.
Like, that's what it's called.
Like, I'm not saying she didn't destroy the property. I'm not saying that she wasn't a ghetto hood rat and tore up your place. I'm not saying she didn't pay the rent. But what you did not have was emotional distress. Like, I don't want you to get in there and act like you were a victim by any stretch of the imagination. Somebody's renting your property for $19,000 a month. I don't want you to think by any means that you had emotional distress. I have a good one.
Ty, do you have a guess first? Ty first.
Oh, my God.
Who are you talking about? Who was the person who destroyed the apartment?
Or probably like Tiana. No.
Close. You're close with her, though, if it's who I think it is.
So Azalea Banks didn't deserve...
No, it wasn't Azalea. You're on the right track, though. She's known for selling fish plates outside of the BET Awards.
Yeah, okay. I thought this is what it was.
I can't remember.
Remember when Keisha called Tour Birdman's apartment up?
Oh!
That's it. Good job, Dex. Good job, Dex. That was when Keisha Cole tore up the apartment or whatever place she was renting from Birdman, and she got in a fight with one of Birdman's mistresses or something like that, one of the other women. All right, and last but not least, this one's from 2015. Since we are tied, let's go ahead. No, they weren't seen together, but it was just a rumor that they were dating. Like TMZ earlier in the week had asked him his ex-wife about, you know, his relationship with Rihanna. She was like, I mean, cool, whatever. I hope you have my tickets for the concert or whatever like that. I mean, so it's kind of been out there, but he finally spoke out and said something about it and acted like it was more than what it was when he should have just kept his mouth shut.
But she does know him. Like, she's like, I never met you.
There's no photos. There's nothing. So, I mean, he could very well be lying.
I'm wondering where the rumors came from. Like, no one mistake me for
he started them. That's where they came from. Like, he put it out there. He put it out there, and then they approached him about it.
That's embarrassing.
Who are we talking about that was faking their way to dating Rihanna back in 2015? Faked their way.
I remember that situation so well, but I cannot remember who the person was.
He's a basketball player. I told TMZ that he had previously dated Rihanna.
I remember the clip and everything. I can't pin the person down, which is like really weird.
He has an association with I think it's Love. What's that? Who's that basketball show? Basketball Wives. I'm supposed to say Love and Basketball.
I have no issue with that show.
I have no idea who's on that show.
Derek Fisher stole his wife.
Matt Barnes.
There we go. Matt Barnes. Remember he told TMZ that he used to date Rihanna?
No.
You don't remember that at all?
I remember the clip. I remember he like, it was like, he didn't say it directly, but he was like insinuating a whole bunch of stuff. And he made people like infer that he was dating her. And she like clarified, like, absolutely not. They're like, I don't even know who that is. It was like really embarrassing.
Speaking about absolutely not, let's send it to Dex's BS report.
All right, I'll try to be quick for you guys today. So there is a man, an 84-year-old man, who just wants to just live his life to the best. And what he likes to do is, you know, sculpt beautiful sculpt women features onto his hedges outside of his home. Yeah. So he likes to build them up, and he builds like very nice bodies for the women.
Like vaginas?
Butts and vaginas, obviously, everything, you know. And a lot of his neighbors, he often catches them like taking a look at what he's doing, whatever.
I thought you were going to say like doing this.
Wait, wait, wait. they take a look at what he's doing. So he knows that people like to like look at it and stuff like that. But he's recently he's caught people having sex with the bushes.
No!
Yeah. Like he's like on multiple occasions, like the nipple of one of the women is being pulled off. Mind you, these are hedges, like trees and dirt and grass. Like, and people are doing this and he's just very upset about it. And he's just saying like, can you guys please just put a stop to it? Oh. So if you guys ever go somewhere and you see some hedges, like, and they're sexually attractive hedges, don't have sex with it.
Please.
And speaking of having sex, the CDC is sick of y'all. They want to know why you guys are reusing condoms. Apparently, that is a big trend, and a lot of people are getting infections by it because they're reusing the same condom. When asked, like, what's happening here, a lot of men are putting hand sanitizer on condoms just to make sure they're clean after they're being used, or they wash it with soap and water, and then they reinsert it into a woman, maybe the same woman, maybe a different woman, but they're putting it in somebody's vagina, and that ain't where it go. Go to the garbage can. And finally, there was a woman.
That ain't where it go.
And finally, there's a woman named Claire who lost her husband, and she was a little devastated by it. So what she decided to do is take her husband everywhere she goes. When she goes to the movie theater, she takes his urn with his ashes in it.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, wherever she goes, when she goes to work, when she goes to work out, wherever she goes, her husband's right there with her. Well, one day, she opened up the urn and she actually got a little bit of the ash on her finger.
Uh-uh.
And she refused to throw her husband's ashes away, so she began to eat them. When she started to eat them, she felt like a connection between herself and her husband. So she just continued to eat the ashes. The husband's family got wind of this at a holiday function, and they took the ashes away from her because it's like, we want to keep these ashes, and two, like, this isn't okay for you to be doing.
They repossessed the ashes?
They repossessed the ashes. So now Claire actually recently got arrested because she tried to break into the family home and steal the ashes back. So I kind of have like a BS report with some Q&A. So I want to know for you guys, who's wrong in this situation? Claire for breaking into the home to steal the ashes back, or the family for taking the ashes from her in the first place?
The family for taking the damn ashes in the first place. Because Claire, that was Claire's husband, right?
Yeah.
That's Claire's husband. You know what I'm saying? That those ashes belong to her. Whatever the hell she wants to do with them, she can do with them. I've watched Stranger Things season 1 and 2, and I've seen some crazy ass stuff from some crazy ass ladies. And I feel like that if you feel that way, that you have to get a connection with somebody and eat their ashes to do so. I've seen crazier stuff because Stranger Things ain't no joke. I feel like that's based on a true story. And if I was in that same situation, if I felt a connection, I felt like that I could feel someone's heartbeat that I loved, I might eat some ashes too, personally.
So when I die, please send my ashes to Jason so that we can stay connected forever.
If I feel that way, if I feel convicted about you, Dex, I don't know.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is Dex's BS report for the week.
All right. Ty, you have any comments on that?
No comment.
You think they was mixing it in like a dip, like a French onion dip or something like that?
I think it's stupid as hell since we're still talking about it. Because you can get ashes in like necklaces and earrings and all types of stuff.
Can you get them in chips? Can you get them in chips like Cool Ranch or something?
Can I get it in my burrito?
That's right. Like sprinkle it on top.
They will probably throw a sprinkle in there for you.
If I send HelloFresh some ashes, can they like integrate it into my meals? So like,
all I know is I'm with the family. I'm repossessing these ashes, and I'm probably dumping them out because that's more than enough. You've done enough.
That's gross. All right, time for seats. Do you guys have any seats to give out to the general public?
There are always seats for the general public.
Well, Ty, go ahead.
So yesterday was the On the Run 2 tour here in Philadelphia. And we decided to go. And the parking lot on the way out was ridiculous.
Like, was that Lincoln Financial?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was insane. And so, you know me, I'm like a super patient person, if anyone has ever known that about me. I'm very, very patient. And so, we're going to ease our way out, do our thing, whatever. This woman, and I'm not going to give you her gender. I mean, not her gender. Obviously, it's her gender. I'm not going to give you her. But she pulls up to the side of me and says, excuse me, do you mind if I get in front of you? Because I'm just stuck here.
White.
And I said to her, I said, no, we are all stuck here. And she's like, well, the people are just moving in front of me and I can't get out. I said, miss, none of us can get out. So no, you can't. And Nicole was like, you were so rude to her. I said, no, she's stupid as hell. We're all stuck in the parking lot.
So did I guess right?
I refuse to comment on that part. The only thing I want to say is she needs a seat.
It just sounds privileged, so that's why I asked.
Like, the audacity, right? Like, you, we're all jammed in the parking lot, and you want to get in front because you're stuck and you can't get by? Like, why would I give a shit about you? I'm stuck.
But, Ty, would it have made that much of a difference if you just would have let her over?
Yeah, it would have.
Yes, it would.
Okay.
Why can't you be like the rest of us?
I guess in the same line of what Ty was doing, like, so last night, like, my seat was, like, on the floor area and trying to get out.
Ooh, I love how you said that. Like, he tried to sneak that in there. My seat was, like, at the Beyonce concert, my seat was, like, in the floor area or something like that.
I was trying to make a point. So, anyway, like, my seat was in the floor area, and you would think that, like, you could have like an easier way to get out. I literally stood there for an hour after the show was over because no one was moving. Like all the other sections.
You thought you have an easy way out because you have floor seats?
Yes. And you would just think that like they would. Why? Just, I don't know. Like I just figured because you're there, like there will be like an exit that'll get you to your car.
You just got floor seats.
But they're literally the worst seats to have because like you have to wait for every other person to get out before you can move.
And you have to look up the entire show. Like, you have to have your head up. It's kind of annoying.
And she kept floating above people's heads. So I was, like, really annoying. I'm like, I would be annoyed if I was under her stage or looking at her, the back of her head.
Dex, you paid for those tickets or they was comps?
I paid for those tickets. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
And then, but my actual seat goes to myself. And this is kind of a spoiler alert. If you were going to see the show, like, so I went to the show last night. My coworker's like, Dexter, like, how did you like the show? I'm like, oh, it was really good. I had so much fun at the show, so forth, so on. Spoiler alert. They're like, how did you like it when she made the stage or when they made the stage move? And I was like, it was cool. I have no idea that happened because I fell asleep during the concert. And I thought I would sleep maybe for like a minute, but I think I might have slept like
an hour.
A good bit of the concert, because I don't remember a stage moving at all. So
she did it several times. So if you don't remember that, you definitely missed the majority.
Yeah, I was asleep for a while there.
So which part did you go to sleep on? Beyonce's part or Jay-Z's part? Or like
I don't remember when I felt. I have videos though, so I'm just like, I saw stuff and I heard.
You were posting stuff to the Bro Talk page, so had so stuff.
Like, but I'm like, when did I go to sleep? And then people were sending me pictures of myself sleep. I'm like, okay, like I know I went to
sleep. There was this middle part in the concert where everyone started sitting down. Like, do you remember that part? Because it was like very like mellow.
Doesn't remember. He was out.
I think that's probably when you were sleeping. That's when the rest of us were gonna fall asleep too.
I don't remember the first On the Run tour. That's why I didn't buy tickets to the second one, because I'm not saying that I was out of it, but yeah, I was pretty out of it. Like, I was disappointed when I left because I was so excited for the show. So I wanted to make sure I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it too much that I don't necessarily remember the show. So I feel you, Dex, in that sympathy, but I didn't buy tickets to the second one because of that very reason. And I felt like I would definitely ruin it again. So
I thought you guys would go because I think they're coming to California around Christina.
Oh yeah. They're going to the Rose Bowl probably again. And okay, cool. But
no, your wife's birthday, though. I'll figure it out.
We have a kid. Like, kids cost money. So yeah, that's all we're doing now. All right, those were seats. Appreciate it. Don't forget, like, subscribe to our channel, and also subscribe on our podcasts that we have out there. Here we go, Dex. You ready? iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Player FM, Audio Mac, SoundCloud, or on all of those.
Can somebody make a slide for that next week so everyone start writing it down? Like, I will slide.
Seriously.
Also, subscribe to us, not only for our show, but for the things that we do on these music subscription services called playlists. We have playlists on Spotify, Apple Music as well. So check those out. We have Music Monday, all the songs that we put on our Instagram. Instagram stories. All the songs we put up on our Instagram stories on Mondays for Music Monday. They have a playlist especially for that. And we also have a playlist for all the songs that we do on Throwback Thursday, which happens to be in two. But actually, if you listen to the podcast, it'll be tomorrow. But if you're watching tonight, it'll be on Thursday. So we appreciate you subscribing to both of those on Spotify and iTunes under at Bro Talk Live. Don't forget, tell a friend about our show so they will listen and support us. And comment. We appreciate all of our comments on how we can make the show better. Bro Talk Live, right on the mark. Do you guys have any further comments, shout outs, anything else to get out there?
Just shout out to everyone listening to the shows.
Appreciate it. Ty?
Podcasts.
Podcasts. We appreciate it. All right, cool. You guys have a wonderful night. We will see you next week. I don't know when we're going on vacation, but we're going to go on vacation sometime in August to get a little break because we need it. All right. For Dex, for Ty, my name is Jason. For Will, who's over there in Paris. We will see you bright and early next week at 7 p.m. BroTalkLive.com. Have a good night.